Okay, we are going to get started, and I hope the line holds up. I was on a Atlanta-wide director call yesterday, and the conference call line was very staticky, but, of course, the bad weather was coming in while we were on the call. So I'm hoping everything goes well here because it's kind of settled in. So can everybody hear me? We're good?
Yeah.
Good. All right. So we are on the chapter called Quality Time, but let me ask you guys, how did last week go? Did you affirm someone in your life this past week?
I did.
Yeah.
And how was it? How was it received?
Well, it was actually somebody at the Burger King.
Good.
I went in and was placing an order, and the guy that was behind the counter was having to multitask. He was waiting on the window with his little radio headset and waited on me, and I, you know, watched him go back and forth, and he wasn't rushed, and he just did it, and, you know, did a good job. And so I told him, I said, you know, you're pretty good at multitasking. And he kind of stopped and he looked up and he was, you know, kind of grinned a little bit and said, well, you know, you have to be when you're the only one working up here. I said, well, you're good.
That is very good.
I'm sure
it shocked him. Like, boy, I never hear that. Usually people are all ticked off, right?
Yeah. I figured it made him feel good about what he was doing.
Absolutely.
So I like to
Isn't it fun to do that, Brenda, too, to see their smile?
Yeah. How did it make you feel, Brenda?
Good. Good, because I like to believe that I made a difference in his morning.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You absolutely did. Without question. Did anybody else have time to do that or remember to do it, I should say? We should always have time.
I affirm Greg. That's about it.
Well, that's good, though, because I have not seen a lot of that. So how did that – what was that received?
Oh, it was good. It was funny because the one time I said something to him, and then he turned around and said something to me, and then I said it to him.
That's
like,
okay.
Yeah. It was cute. Yeah. It was cute.
That's cute, though. That really does. And you know what? It makes such a difference in your marriage. It really does, because it is the majority of men. And even with Caleb, Rachel, I have found a difference with AJ when I affirm him with my word, what a difference it makes.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when I'm talking to him on the phone, I'll say, now, you be a big boy today for Grammy, so you make sure you listen to Mom and you be her big helper, because I know you are. And he's like, yes, ma'am. And Mary Beth will send me a text later that night. She goes, can you call every night or every day and tell him that? She said he was such a huge helper. So it really, even over the phone, whatever little bit you can do really, really helps. So it really, I mean, it's so cute when they're, you know, little kids like that, and he's just like, yes, ma'am, and then she tells me it works. And I just want to share with you guys, we had the marriage retreat this past weekend at Amicalola Falls, which Scott and I helped Steve and Julie run, and it was an affirmation, but in a very interesting way. I have to say it was, and I'll kind of explain the scenario. Last year, we had a couple in our church that, I believe, Brenda, do you remember Jeremy, what day? I think it was in January.
Yeah.
Their son committed suicide.
Yeah.
And he was older. He's like 24, I think, when he committed suicide. And do you know that couple still came to the marriage retreat a week and a half later?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I was so impacted by that. I was so in awe. And it's a stepdad and his mom. And she mm-hmm. cried the majority of the time, I will say that. But they were there. And so they were there again this year. And Kathy said, she goes, I know I wasn't very interactive last year. And we all kind of chuckled knowing the situation. And she said, I'm sure that's to be understood. But you guys will never know how much that meant to me. And so, because we were just going around the room, and I said, Kathy, can I just share with you how amazingly impactful that was to me personally to know what you had just gone through, and a week and a half later you're here with putting your life out in front of us to see you're here growing your marriage and growing your faith. That was enormous for me to see. You are such a role model in both the strength that you showed in your marriage and just in your faith. And I mean, she was just, like, stunned. Her mouth was wide open, and I just thought, that's absolutely what I felt in my heart. And I'd never had a chance to tell her that. And I thought, you know what? More people need to be open to share that openly. I'm sure a lot of people feel like that would bring back memories for her. But afterwards, she came up to me and she goes, I couldn't even speak when you said that to me. She said, I was absolutely speechless to think that I'm a role model for you. But it absolutely just made me feel so good that I was able, through Jeremy's death, give someone else strength. And I thought, holy cow, she continues. But it was just awesome. And, you know, the cool part about that whole story is we were talking to her husband, Paul, afterwards, and through her son's death, she is actually mentoring parents that are like, currently going through the situation, like, right now. Like, she's on this blog, and she's, I mean, all over the United States. Wow. What a way to use what you've been through to help others. It was just really, really impactful. So,
and nobody else can do that. Nobody
That's
else
right.
can do
That's
that unless
I told
they
her.
Can do it.
Mm-hmm. I said, wow. I said, you are so using a hardship in your life to help others, and I am so impressed. And she's bringing those people to Christ. That's the part that just gives me God bumps, because she's telling them how she got through it is with her faith, how she got through it is with Christ, how she got through it. And it's just like, oh, my goodness, wow, to be an example. Like, and she doesn't talk about it. Her husband shares it. She doesn't talk about it at all. And I thought, what an amazing example of words of affirmation from your spouse to someone else, right? I mean, how – I mean, my heart was like – that was the greatest impact for me from the marriage retreat, is to hear Paul glowing. And Paul's from New Hampshire, so he doesn't know that whole nicety, be nice, say nice things. Brenda knows what I'm talking about, so she can laugh too. He just doesn't get it because of where he's from, but that even made it more impactful that he was sharing the good that came out of it with others. And Rachel, I'm sure you can relate from you and Rick being from Pittsburgh that not often does that happen on the guy's side. It's kind of
hard
for them.
True.
Yeah. So
they hold it in. They hold it in. They don't share.
Yeah, they do. They think it is a weakness.
Manly. You're right.
Or a weakness. They think they, I don't know if it's how they're trained, and it's men in general, not just North or South. It is, they almost see it as a weakness for whatever reason. So I have to say that it is this past week being here, you know, stuck in the house with not Steph, but in the snow with Scott. He's been working nonstop. He's been really putting in the hours, which is great. He's getting caught up on a lot of stuff. But I hear him on conference calls, and I hear the other people. And I hear my husband every single time affirming whoever's running the conference call or whoever's doing the work, even if it's a one-on-one or even if it's in a big group. In the conference call-ins, he says, you know, great job, Andy. I'm really impressed with your blah, blah, blah. And he lists something specifically. And he never gets off a call without affirming the person that did the work for the call.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, he's changing Equifax. He is honestly changing them by them hearing that, thinking, huh. And let me tell you, he gets a serious amount of work out of these people. And there's no question why. Because he affirms them. So let's just remember that as we go through the day. And it's not that he's doing it to get work out of them. He's doing it because that's what he's learned in Mary Kay. And he actually said that because I was telling him my training. And he said, it really has been through Mary Kay that I've learned that, I've seen the affirmations. I've seen the recognition of people's efforts create a want for them to do more. And so it not only touches us, it touches those in our lives as well. So just remember that as you go through and see your, and just like AJ, you know, kind of the same thing with them. So anyway, all right, well, let's talk about quality time. It's kind of funny because I was listening to the singles book, five love languages for singles, and then I also have the five love languages for couples, and they don't correlate on the same act or number two. And I'm like, okay, which one is it? So I actually went back to the one on the book, which was quality time. So I was like, oh, my goodness, okay. So it's quality time, and I want to talk about the dialects of quality time. There's three dialects of quality time. There's conversations, which is just when you're conversing back and forth. There's listening, and Mary Kay always said there's a reason God gave us two ears and one mouth. It's, you know, luckily or unfortunately, if it was two lips and one mouth, we'd sell a lot more lipstick. But it's two ears and one mouth. And then activities is the next. So which dialect, if you think about it, which dialect do you think is most important to your personality? When I asked that question to myself, I found that activities is my number one dialect, and listening would be number two. Now, don't get me wrong, where it's the greatest need for improvement for me, that would be listening and closing my mouth. I've gotten better at it in a lot of ways, but it still is a constant to learn, to continue to learn on that. But let me talk about activities a little bit. That is most important to my personality, and I realized that in doing this lesson. At first I thought, you know, because I think I said last week that quality time used to be mine, but now that Scott's working from home, that's not the case. Well, this week I learned that's not true. It is still absolutely the case. It has not changed, and that working from home doesn't change that, because what I found was him working from home this week, and I'm getting caught up on a lot of stuff, I'm still wanting the quality time of him just coming and sitting on the couch and us just talking. Or, you know, previously when we've gotten snowed in and the kids have been here, we've played games, we've played the Wii, we've played things as a family. And since they're not here, we're not doing that this time. And I really miss that. I miss that funness of the snow, so to speak, not going out playing in it. The funness of what happens as a family when you're in the snow or when you're snowed in. Kind of like him wanting to rent kids last or 2 weeks ago when we had so much snow to go build snowmen with. I want to rent kids to come play the Wii with me. So anyway, it really hit me this time to say, wow. It is still quality time for me. And it's quality time in a different way. And that's what really helped me with this lesson. Activities is quality time, and I didn't see it as that. I thought that was more of acts of service, but that's not. I was confusing the two. So quality time is still my number one. Through activities, things that he and I both like to do, like often I'll say to him, I'm going to the gym. Why don't we go, you know, come to the gym, come work out with me, because we used to work out together. And he's like, yeah, no, the gym's not for me in the morning. The gym's for me at night. Well, I can't work out at night. That's just not my thing. Well, when we're getting ready for a vacation, I work out in the morning with Dawn, and then I go back to the gym at night with him. It is something that we still have that bond because I go outside my norm to go to the gym with him. And so what I read was, and what I realized is that both parties have to be willing to do that. Both parties have to be willing to go outside of their norm to do something different for each other. So a couple of things this week that I want you to do, and I'm giving you this as we talk about it, is I want you to journal this week five of your favorite childhood memories and what factors made them memorable. Now, for me, childhood memories are a little difficult because I've heard stories of my childhood, but I don't remember a lot of them, which I think we're all kind of like that. So I don't, like, and I think we're all going to have that. I don't think we're going to remember being in the moment, but we remember the story and how we felt. And so journal that this week to remember that. Like what made me also start thinking of activities is one of my favorite memories as a child is when I won a fishing rodeo. And I don't really remember the whole situation, but I remember I was there fishing with my grandmother, and I caught the biggest fish that she had to help me reel it in, or maybe this is really a fish story that I've made bigger. Ha, ha, ha. And and
it was your dad, and it was in Greenwood.
It was in Greenwood. Okay. So for some reason, I thought Mama was there. So anyway, And maybe that's because I always went fishing with her, too, in Macomb. So, you know, it's amazing what our mind does, too. You know how to add stuff to it. But anyway, the long story short is I won the fishing rodeo. And there were older men, much older men in this fishing rodeo.
You were 3 years old.
Yeah, and they were much older, much, much, much older. So the prize was an 18-speed bike. Well, I was three. I couldn't ride an 18-speed bike. So they actually had to return the bike, and I got this cool little pink bike with a horn on the front and a basket, and I just thought it was super cool, was the prize. And so I remember that like it was yesterday in the sense of the feeling of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the quality time. I do remember you being there, Mom. I think it was the whole family, right? We were all together.
Yeah, the other kids were in it, too.
Okay. I thought so. I remembered Marty and Bubba being
they
very jealous.
They just didn't win.
Yeah, very jealous that I won, but I'm used to that. Anyway, so
you won quick king of the show.
No, exactly. You know, always having to be there. But quality time is different than just talking, and that's what I want you guys to realize. That sometimes quality time means activities that you enjoy. And Rachel kind of talked about this last week. She was talking about how she and – or 2 weeks ago that they took Caleb out sledding, and she and Rick had so much fun. They continued to go sledding. And they were like, our four-year-old's back home. We really need to, like, go back home. That was an activity they enjoy, and they remember from their childhood. Right, Rachel? Or maybe you just liked it. Who knows?
Yes. And we are going to do it today, too.
Yeah, but, you know, it's something that brings back memories that you guys probably didn't share as older adults, right? You didn't share because y'all were living down here, I think, when y'all
met. We were older, so we definitely didn't share anything. We've heard stories that we both have had about the snow, and Rick obviously a lot more since he grew up in Erie with so much more snow.
Right.
But, yeah, we never, you know, really did stuff like that. Like, we were talking last night about the Olympics. I'm like, if he didn't turn it on, I wouldn't watch it. I never grew up watching the Olympics, so, but he did, and he loves the Olympics, so.
That's the same thing with Scott and I. And I have actually learned to love the Olympics. I love all the skating and just how fast they go. Oh, my gosh. And I really didn't get into that until I lived in upstate New York and actually went to Lake Placid and saw the luge run, the actual Olympic luge run that I was like, holy cow, that thing is, and I went down it, like, that thing is fast. I was like, oh, my gosh. So, but it's so true. I mean, we kind of build our own memories in a different way, but as adults, we need to remember those childhood memories, and I think that this is a perfect opportunity to do that, and not just with spouses, with kids. Brenda, I know for me that, like, last time it snowed a couple years ago, going outside with the boys and, you know, building the snowman and just having that fun that, now I don't remember that as a child because I grew up in Mississippi, but I do remember 1 year that my sister was home from Hawaii at Thanksgiving and it snowed so much in Mississippi that we actually were able to build snowmen. We have snowmen with a Hawaiian lei and a Hawaiian skirt and flip-flops down on the snowman. We have a picture. And I remember that like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those kind of activities that you continue to remember. So what are some of your favorite childhood memories and what factors made them so meaningful? I think the important part about this is sharing it with your spouse. I know a lot of times, like, we hear their parents talk and we hear it, but talking about it with your children, like, just like I was just doing, and my mom was telling me the part she remembers, I remember it in a different way. So talking to your children about memories that you have of their childhood, like my mother continues to tell me about when my father hung me over the Grand Canyon by my feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Do I remember that? No.
I do.
It is very vivid memory because I've been told and told and told and told. And my dad's told me that part, too. So while we're snowed in, have some memories with your children. With Caleb, Rachel, things that you remember when he was two, because he's not going to remember that. Things that he, you know, you remember, Brenda, with Laura and with the boys. for maybe the first snowfall they saw. And Melissa, with your son, the snows that you remember. Because, you know, this type of weather brings back memories for us. And I know, Melissa, y'all grew up right here in Georgia, but I know there's been snowfall in Georgia. I remember a very, very big snowstorm in, I think, 95, because I just moved in my house in Powder Springs.
It was 93.
Right, I missed that one because I moved here in 93. But, yes, 93, I think y'all were snowed in for like 10 days or something like that. It was huge.
At least a week, yeah.
Yeah, and then in 95, it was quite a long time, too, because I painted my entire kitchen in my new house. I remember that vividly. See, that's the memory I have. So, anyway, remember those and share with them, because as kids or as adults, we forget those things, but it's fun to remember. So,
and our kids will never know for sure what really happened unless we share them with them.
That's right. That's right.
The quality time. Make it quality time.
That's right. We have the fish stories,
mm-hmm.
you know, that get bigger and bigger. Well, for instance, and I'll give you all a quick example, is that AJ, when he comes at Christmas, he must have been like 15 months because he was walking. And we have these life-size nutcrackers that Shane's collected. Well, two of them have capes and that are removable and swords that are removable. And when AJ was 15 months, he would go get the cape off the nutcracker and he would walk around the house in the cape with the shield or with the sword or whatever. And he was the nutcracker. And he actually would make his mouth do the nutcracker move. Well, that memory is so vivid for me. So when they were here at New Year's, I said to AJ, I said, do you remember when you were really little, you used to put on the cape and you were the nutcracker? And so he said, I want to put on the cape, Grammy. So he wore the cape nonstop. He wanted to sleep in it. He wanted to be in it all time. And then this year he's like, I am Sir Austin, Grammy. Call me Sir Nutcracker Austin. I'm like, okay, you got that. Yes. Check. And so Scott and I were talking about it's those kind of memories we need to put in a journal, because
mm-hmm.
those kind of memories get lost as
mm-hmm.
time goes, right? It gets lost in the rhetoric of just day-to-day life, but it gets lost in the translation, but it gets lost in our memory, too. Scott was sharing with Ryan brought some rifles over from his mom's house that were Scott's dad's. And Scott was showing me this one rifle, and he goes, oh, man, he goes, I remember this rifle like it was yesterday. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah, I shot this rifle 1,000 times. And I said, really? Honey, I never thought you even shot a gun until we went to the gun handling class. He goes, oh, no bullets. I just shot it. I'm like, oh. He said, yeah, it was hanging up in my bedroom over my bed. And so I would pretend I'd be a sniper. And he talks about all these memories from childhood of this rifle that never had any bullets in it, but he was a sharpshooter with this rifle with no bullets. And it just cracked me up. I thought, you know, see, I would have never known that story had the rifle not come into the house.
Mm-hmm.
I never would have known it. And it just cracked me up thinking, and I can so see him doing that. He used to love playing army men. So I can so see him hiding under his bed, snipering off his sister as she walked in the room by pretend, of course. But anyway, and that would be Kathy, not Carol, the one y'all know. Kathy, the one that's closest in his age. So let's talk about quality listening. Listen while not doing anything else. So here's the key. We can't be texting. We can't be trying to read. We can't be doing other things while we're trying to listen. Because when your spouse's love language is quality listening, that's what you need to do. You need to put your phone away, put it somewhere you can't see it, you can't see it going off, whatever. But it needs to be quality listening so that you're listening only to them. We also don't need to try to solve the issue they're sharing. I will say this is the number one issue with Mary Kay husbands. They, if we set it straight first, if we say to them at the beginning of the conversation, you know, hon, I want to share something with you, but I don't want you to solve the problem for me. I just want you to listen. Or instead of a spouse, a child, or a friend, I have certain friends that try and solve every one of the issues I'm sharing with them. And I ended up stop telling them anything. So I learned what I had to do was say, you know what, I don't want a solution. I just want you to hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
And that finally, by setting it straight up front, they don't feel like they have to solve it for us. You know, as a friend, we want to help our friend get to a better place with whatever's going on with them. So I soon discovered that it made a big difference by setting it straight first, both with Scott and with my friend, saying, I don't need a resolution. I don't need a solution. I just need you to listen. And that really helped. So the other quality is activities. Again, something that the person enjoys doing and you might not enjoy necessarily. So example, Scott enjoys watching Westerns. That is my least favorite movie in the world. Like, I could just go to sleep during Westerns. I'd never watch them. I never grew up watching them. They're not something I enjoy. But he loves them because that's what his dad watched. And so I have to watch them with him. That's his quality time. That's one of the things that he enjoys watching. With the kids, it's playing games. It's playing board games. It's taking time out of our schedule to play those things. And even, you know, when they're here, if I have 1,000 things going on, I still need to set aside the time to play a board game. What I have learned in that is, you know, so often we have so much stuff to do, so much stuff to do, so much stuff to do, and cooking dinner and this and that and the other. I learned that with playing the board games, I said, all right, I can play for an hour. Let's put the timer on. And that's what we started doing. We started putting the egg timer on for an hour, and when an hour was up, I had played for an hour, so I'd go cook dinner or do whatever I needed to do. And if they wanted to continue to play, they could. But 9 times out of 10, they'd say, okay, that's good. We're good. Let's go, you know, we'll go do something else. They don't want to play for 5 hours. They just want a little bit of that time together. And then for me, it's going to the gym. And Scott's learned that, even though he doesn't like going in the morning still. So a lot of times I just revise for me. But, you know, again, like I was saying, the lesson made me realize my primary love language is still quality time through activities. And I have to make sure that Scott understands that if I'm not feeling like my dialect is being met, then it's something that we need to talk about or something that we need to, you know, address with, hey, let's play a Wii game, or, you know, it's lunchtime, take time off. And, you know, when he's here, he actually eats at his desk a lot of times because he's on conference calls. So I decided yesterday that I'm going to say, okay, lunch break. If you're at the office, you take a lunch break. Let's take a lunch break. So, and that's up for me to speak up as well and not just sulk or pout. We also learned that at the marriage retreat, that pouting is more than just sticking your lip out. It's the silent treatment. It's the not sharing. It's the, there's so much more to the silent, to pouting than we think. We think just sticking our lip out, and that's not true. Pouting is any form of refraining from something, you know, from sharing or from speaking or anything like that. So anyway, the other part is the dinner table. Dinner time is so important. When I was doing this lesson, I was Googling a lot of things, and I was shocked at how much time around the dinner table has fallen off. And it just amazed me that, and this goes across the board, married, not married, children, not children, grown children, not grown children, this is across the board. It is so important to have that time. It is so important to have time around the dinner table. One of the things I read was this guy saying, I'm Latin, and yes, quality time revolves around food. And I think that has to do with us being in the South, too. It revolves around food. But that's okay. We know that, right? Because it is so, that's when so often the kids open up. And the part that I loved is in reading, it talked about even teenagers open up when they help cook as well. And I thought, wow, I never did that with mine. But that's so true. I know Mary Beth does that with AJ. She'll get him in the kitchen and say, hey, bud, come help me, you know, toss the salad or whatever. And he just, like, glows. He just loves that time with Mary Beth. Well, with two of their kids, that's the only time he's going to get is when he helps her cook, because that's the only other time the two kids are taken care of or outside of the kitchen, because they're not allowed in the kitchen while she's cooking. So what are some of the things you can do with your kids that will involve preparing dinner? I know, for instance, of course, us being empty nesters, we tend to just eat as we go now, and I realized as well that that's still important to me, that that's how I grew up. I grew up sharing around the dinner table, and so it's very important to me to have that time. I think Scott's loving this whole snowed in because I've cooked every day. I went to the grocery store before we got snowed in, and, you know, I have time to cook, so I cook every day, and so he's loving it. He's like, wow, this is cool. She's actually cooking again, which never happens. But that's how I grew up, was around the dinner table. I can remember, you know, at my house and at my grandmother's house, it was cooking the favorite foods of us, of her grandchildren, based on who was coming in town. So don't lose that. Even if your kids are grown, don't lose that. Make a weekend day or weekend night a dinner night. Make it, you know, set the time out. Set it out so everybody knows. And I'll share with you guys, I know when I was at my mom's in January when I was going to New Orleans, and my brother and my nephews were staying there with her while they were waiting for their house to get ready because they had sold their house early, et cetera. Well, I would fix dinner, and we would sit down to dinner. And my nephews, even though, like, there was enough room at the dinner table for the adults, and then my nephews would sit right there with us at the counter, they would move those stools, thank you, up to the table. Like, they would eat really fast, and then those stools were up at the table all up in the family time because they didn't want to miss anything. And it just really reminded me how important that is to those kids, how important it is to teenagers, how important it is to kids in general to not lose that. And I loved this quote, or this that I saw, and it's, in a family, love is spelt T-I-M-E. How true is that? That is for everybody in a family. And it's not just, it's kids, it's parents, it's everything. So an example I had of that is AJ, when he's here, as he got older, probably in the past year, when they're here at Christmas, it's like total craziness for me, or Thanksgiving. But when he was here the last time, he'd say, Grammy, want to play with me? Do you want to play with me, Grammy? Do you want to play with me, Grammy? Well, how do you say no? So even though I had 1,000 things to do, I would stop and I'd say, yes, AJ, I would love to play with you. And I'd stop what I was doing. That was him reaching out to say, my love tank's empty. Do you want to play with me? Do you want to do something I love to do? And that was the activity that spoke love to him. And I'd play with him, 15, 20 minutes, and I'd say, okay, now Grammy's got to go do what she's got to do. And he'd say, okay, I come help you. Because then he wanted to give me that same love that he had felt. So through the course of this next week, I want you guys to be aware of that situation and, again, try and find out where, journaling this week, 5 of your favorite childhood memories, but more importantly, what activities, I want you to make a list like I did with mine, with Scott, the kids and me, what activities are things that spell love to your family? Write it down in your journal. Know what those things are. Because when we pay attention to those, when we bring them to the forefront of our minds, we pay attention all the closer, right? That's when we're aware and continue to be aware. So are there any questions about quality time before I share my closing story that is just awesome and heartfelt?
I think it's great.
Thank you.
You covered it well.
Anybody have examples of quality time you want to share?
I just want to remind everybody that the undivided attention is so very important.
Absolutely. Me putting the phone down, putting the cell phone down. And that's what I was reading last night. In the world of technology, it gave an example of mom's on the couch reading her Kindle, dad's on the in the chair watching TV, the one daughter's in the room texting on her cell phone, the other daughter's in the room, in her room doing homework, and everybody's separate, and nobody's communicating.
That's right.
And it's very important. It's very important that we don't lose that touch in the world of technology. It was so funny, of course, listening to Scott's, I'm not intentionally listening to Scott's conference calls, but, you know, as these conference calls go on and he always puts them on speaker, you can't help but to hear them. A lot of times I've closed my office door so I don't have to hear all the financial talk of Equifax. But this guy, Dave, who is actually the general manager over the auto vertical, he's from New York, and which is kind of funny. But I loved what he said at the end of one of these calls, and this was a pretty important call. It was the whole leadership group of the Equifax auto vertical. And he said, I'm sending out a phone list. He said, because you know what, guys? We need to pick up the phone and we need to call, because so much gets lost in these IMs and these emails. So much of the passion and what you're trying to say is lost when you're typing it out. So you know what? Pick up the phone and make a 15-minute phone call versus taking 15 minutes to get the wording right in the email. And I thought, touche, Dave. Good answer. I applaud that because that's so true. So much is lost. You cannot put affliction and caring voices in text. You just can't do it. I don't care how many exclamations and smiley faces you put. It's still not the same. Steve sent me a message. I said something to him last week, and he sent a note back, and he said, I'd say LOL, but I hate LOL. And I'm like, sending him a text back, what? You hate LOL? What is that about? So it was ha, ha, ha. But he's like, just a cliche. And so I gave him, you know, our reason for LOL. And he goes, thank you for taking the cliche out of LOL. It's given me a whole new meaning. And I'm like, well, there, see, it works. But I had to tell him that. I couldn't, you know, I typed it back, but then I had to call him and say, okay, I can't type all this, and I can't tell you the importance of this to me with text. So anyway, let's remember that this week, too. You know, as we're snowed in today, play a game. Play a game with whoever's there. Melissa, you're probably like me. I don't know if your son's there, but you might just have Duffy there, like I just have Scott. But we're still going to play a game today. I have new recall. I mean, I'm standing firm on this one.
Well,
whatever it is.
Ben's actually home this time, so I feel much better that everybody snowed in together.
Oh, good. All the little chicks are home, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, good. So you get to play a game with your entire family. They'll think, what is wrong with mom? She has lost her ever loving mind. But you know what? It's fun. So do that. Just, you know, and Rachel, you know, I know Caleb doesn't like to go sledding, and that's okay, but do something that he likes to do while you and Rick are out sledding and come in and do something he likes to do.
No, he likes to sled. He just got to a point that he got cold, and he was done sledding when he got cold.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I won't even go out because I don't want to get cold, so I don't blame him at all on that one.
So yesterday he said, I think we need to just have this as a jammy day.
Oh,
so we
did.
In our jammies
awesome.
All day. We showered, put jammies back on, we played Monopoly. So we said,
I love jammy day.
Snow. Yeah, and then we're going to try to build a snowman because he's never built a snowman, so we were waiting for the snow to build one.
Well, there's plenty of snow. My gosh,
yep.
We have 6 inches in my house.
So that's our game plan for today. We're going to go out shortly and build a snowman.
Good. That is awesome. And Miss Brenda, how many of your chicks do you have home with you?
Just one. Just Laura.
Laura. Okay, good. So you and Laura get to do something that y'all like to do. And maybe. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just looking out to see if we had snow, and we do, too. So, yeah.
So y'all are going to play the snow. That's awesome. See, I was thinking more makeup, playing in makeup with Laura. That'd be more my kind of thing at this point in my life. Let's play in makeup. What do you say, Laura? Do my eyes.
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to this, and you know, I literally worked all day yesterday and behind my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, listening to all this, I thought, you know, this is a golden opportunity to make a memory, even if she is 24 years old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And something that she can carry forward to her family as well.
Absolutely.
And,
and you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, and the last time we were I stayed at Mary Jo's house, it hit me just kind of like a brick after the fact, because I did the same thing there. I turned on my computer, you know, my work makes it so that wherever you are, you can work, and there were certain things that needed to get done, and I spent most of my time when I was at her house working and not paying attention to her, and she made a comment to someone else about it, about her feeling like the dog nuzzling up for some attention because I was working, and I thought, oh, holy moly, what did I just do? And so this has been a very good enlightening chapter, I think.
Good, good, good. That's awesome. That is really, really awesome. And I think the key is, you know, again, like you said, so often we lose the chance to make the memories. And I will say that now at my age, or probably at Laura's age, those are the memories I take forward. Those are the memories I remember, like the snowman with the Hawaiian lei with my sister home at Thanksgiving, because I was older. You know, do I remember the fishing rodeo? Not really. But I remember the memories of my teenage and early 20s more so than the young age, although we still need to impress those young age because it develops them into the adults they are today.
And so, that's our job. That's our job to keep them reminded of the young ages so that they can't remember.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, yeah, y'all, I mean, my parents did a very good job at that. Of course, my father is great at fish stories. He makes it far more greater than I think really happened, but that's okay. I just think I'm just amazing because of all the things he's added to my stories. I know my mother's laughing hysterically on that one. But sometimes we have that, right? And sometimes we need, and that's true. It's our job to remind the children. And Brenda, maybe today what you do is share a memory you have with Laura from when she was a little girl during the snow, when it snowed.
Pull out pictures. Pull out pictures that you have from there. Marty and Benny, when they were home, sometime this last year, pulled out my picture books, and they were looking back at when they dated and so forth and so on.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, we actually shared, you know, again, I was talking about the marriage retreat that we did this past weekend, and I can't tell you how many people said, like, the question that we opened, the icebreaker was, if you could go back and either do something over or do it again, what would it be? And, you know, what does that mean in your marriage? And, yeah, I think that goes across the board for all of us, married or not, that what part of your life would you go back and either redo or do again because you loved it so much? And, you know, Scott and I really make an effort to have time with each other. We, you know, go on vacations together. We make the world stop when we go, you know, we don't take our phones. We just kind of put the world on hold while we spend time with each other and fall in love with each other again. And that was so key for so many people in that room. How many people said they don't do that. They don't make it stop for them. And so regardless of married or not married, the children as a whole, and what we talked about is 1 year for Valentine's, Scott gave me what's called a love jar. And inside the love jar were little slips of paper, and each week I got to pull out a slip of paper. And it said something like, this week, let's look through our wedding pictures. Or this week, let's go shoe shopping. Or this week, we'll meet for drinks or whatever. Just a variety of stuff that he knew I loved to do. And he loves to do it too, not just me, but he loves to go shoe shopping and all on that. But anyway, it was very cool. And I, of course, I shared that in the marriage retreat, and he goes, afterwards, he's like, great, you just took away my man card. There that one goes. And of course, all the girls were like, that's so sweet. Oh my gosh. And all the guys are like, thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. He just showed us up. But it doesn't mean we can't do it with our kids. Or us for our spouses, right? They need to feel loved in the same way, especially this week being Valentine's week. And I know that shouldn't matter. And that was the reason Scott actually created the Love Jar, because he said, I want Valentine's week to be every week for us. I don't want it just to be a cliche Hallmark card or Hallmark holiday. And so, you know, we can do that for others. And I know my mom does a really great job with that with my nephews because, you know, she picks them up from school. She sits there and talks to them. She absolutely gives them her undivided attention. And, you know, that's something that's a key for them because both my brother and sister-in-law work. And so a lot of times they miss that. And so she's actually providing that, I think, for them where they would miss it otherwise. So, so Mom, who are you going to go sledding with Vagine today?
Nada. Our snow is ice.
Okay. So, and if y'all don't know, my mom lives right next door to her best friend from elementary school. So, my mom bought her house, and then Vagine actually built her house, or my mom built her house, and Vagine built her house right next to my mom. So, they are best friends from elementary school, so long friends from long ago. I'm going to give you
And the funny part is our memories should be the same, but we all remember different things.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? It's what's important to us that we remember, or what hit us the hardest. Or impacted us, I should say. And I remind my mother of situations or stories that Vagine has told me that my mom just doesn't remember anymore. It's just so weird like that. Of course, those are all the bad things that she did as a teenager.
Some things you don't want to remember.
Exactly. So your job this week, Mom, is to share with Vagine some of your memories from school that you can remember still.
Do you want us to argue?
No, I know. But some of the impactful things that really made a difference for your relationship with her. Like when y'all first finally decided, we're good friends. We hit it off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if there's no other questions, I want to close with this story. And it was very impactful for me because this hit home because a few years ago, I actually kind of gotten concert tickets and I have no idea what I had going on or just in general, but Scott's mom was here for a couple of weeks during the summer. And I said to him, we do things together all the time. Why don't you take your mom to that concert? And he's like, are you sure? And I said, yes, you need to take your mom to that concert. She's never been to Lakewood or to Chastain. We go all the time. And I really think you need to do that. So he did. So this story really hit me all the more. So after 21 years of marriage, my wife wanted me to take another woman out to dinner and a movie. She said, I love you, but I know this other woman loves you. I would love to spend time with you. The other woman that my wife wanted me to visit was my mother, who had been a widow for 19 years. But the demands of my work and my three children made it possible to visit her only occasionally. That night, I called to invite her to go out for dinner and a movie. What's wrong? She said. Are you okay? Are you well? She asked. My mother is the type of woman who suspects that a late night call or a surprise invitation is a sign of bad news. I thought that it would be pleasant to spend some time with you, I responded, just the two of us. She thought about it for a moment and then said, I would like that very much. That Friday after work, as I drove over to pick her up, I was a bit nervous. When I arrived at her house, I noticed that she, too, seemed to be nervous about our date. She waited in the door with her coat on. She had curled her hair and was wearing the dress that she wore to celebrate her last wedding anniversary. She smiled from a face that was as radiant as an angel. I told my friends that I was going to go out with my son. They were impressed. She said as she got into the car, they can't wait to hear about our date, which is so funny on that story because Scott's mom did the exact same thing with all her girlfriends in Florida when they went to the concert. We went to a restaurant that, although not elegant, was very nice and cozy. My mother took my arm as if she were the first lady. After we sat down, I had to read the menu. Her eyes could only read large print. Halfway through the entries, I lifted my eyes and saw Mom sitting there staring at me. A nostalgic smile was on her lips. It was I who used to have to read the menu when you were small, she said. Then it's time that you relax and let me return the favor, I responded. During the dinner, we had an agreeable conversation, nothing extraordinary, but catching up on recent events of each other's lives. We talked so much that we missed the movie. As we arrived at her house later, she said, "I'll go out with you again, but only if you let me invite you." So I agreed. "How was your dinner date?" asked my wife when I got home. "Very nice, much more so than I could have imagined," I answered. "Thank you for encouraging me to do that." A few days later, my mother died of a massive heart attack. It happened so suddenly that I didn't have a chance to do anything for her. Sometime later, I received an envelope with a copy of a restaurant receipt from the same place Mother and I had dined. An attached note said, "I paid this bill in advance. I wasn't sure that I could be there, but nevertheless, I paid for two plates, one for you and the other for your wife. You will never know what that night meant for me. I love you, son." At that moment, I understood the importance of saying in time, "I love you," and to give our loved ones time that they deserve. Nothing in life is more important than your family. Give them the time they deserve, because those things cannot be put off till some other time. So I think this week with the snow is a perfect opportunity for us to do exactly that, and that's give our loved ones the time, even if they're afar, and give them a phone call. You're stuck inside the house. Make use of the time. Call them. Talk to them. And just give them the time that you have that you don't normally have because, again, you know, the snow is fantastic. It's beautiful. And it's a reason. Let's look at the reason to spend time with our family, both the ones that are in the house with us and the ones that are outside the house, to make that phone call, to share just part of our lives with them. So you guys have a great week. Enjoy the snow. Mom, enjoy the ice, I guess. We have ice underneath ours, too, but I'm not going out in either of them. So you guys have a great time, and we will talk next week at same time, same place, same bat channel. Have a great one.
Okay. Love you, Sugar.
Love you, too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.